Good morning. Praise team, Matt, thanks again. That's beautiful. Once again. Welcome. Welcome to Bayside. Are you enjoying the snow? How many of you enjoy this snow out there? Yeah, that's most of you. A little bit of that action. Yeah, you got to move it, don't you? That's the only negative, moving it. I feel so bad for my neighbor who has to come and move my snow out of my driveway. Like, he had to do it like three times yesterday. I just felt terrible. And so I was drinking my cocoa, just feeling bad for the guy. Yeah, the snow is good and it's beautiful. And it reminds us, just brings us back to that place of remembering how clean God has made us, doesn't it? That God tells us, even though our sins were like scarlet, we have been made white as what? Snow. And I feel bad also for those people in Florida who just can't relate to that whole analogy. I'd be like to be one of those people right now. This is good. It's good and it's beautiful. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. We are this morning going to be remembering communion. We are going to be recollecting again the death of Christ on our behalf. And, you know, communion is one of those things that is different depending upon where you fellowship, what church, and even the name. We call it communion or the Lord's table. Some would call it the Eucharist. Maybe you've heard it referred to as the Blessed Sacrament of the Altar or Holy Communion. And many different churches have different ways that they remember Christ and his sacrifice, even what we use to remember communion. Now, this is actually a set right here that is from Bayside. It's a very old set that we used to use, and so I was fascinated. I did a little bit of looking into how we used to, as Bayside, remember communion, and we used to have, I mean, literally, we used to have the common cup. And so we would at Bayside. Now, this is probably 60, 70 years ago. This set is probably over 100 years old, but we used to pass the common cup. And so this morning, this is going to be a communion Sunday this morning, and we're going to actually go old school, and we're going to pass the common cup again this morning. Okay, we're not. I just wanted to see all the germophobes. I wanted to see them. And you desired response. Okay. But that's the way we used to do communion, even here at Bayside. And of course, some people still use a common cup. In some churches, they still do that. Of course, we use bread. Many places will use unleavened bread or crackers or a lot of different things. And of course, how often we remember communion. Many of us who are here maybe come from a Lutheran or a Catholic background where you remember communion every week. And of course, we remember it once a month. Some churches, some traditions remember it far less than that, quarterly or just randomly. And some places, when they do remember communion, it's an entire meal. It's not just a representation, it's a whole meal. And I think that's probably the most accurate because, of course, communion was the first Last Supper, the original, was an entire meal. People do things very differently. Sometimes you will come to the front and someone will offer you the elements. Of course, we pass them out and we will pass you the elements out today just like we normally do. But sometimes you'll come forward. Some places it's very formal and structured. In some places, it's very kind of casual, and you just kind of go on your own when you're ready to grab your elements. Of course, some do it at the beginning of the service. We will do it and normally do it at the end of the service. This morning's service is going to be all about the communion table and all about remembering Christ. Now, there are some things about communion that differentiate us even doctrinally. And maybe you've heard of some of these things. Some see communion as a sacrament. Now, a sacrament is really a kind of a channel or a conduit of God's grace, a way of receiving God's grace. We see the communion more as an ordinance, which is something that just expresses our faith and our obedience. Roman Catholics, most of them, believe that in something called transubstantiation. And what that means is that the cup and the bread actually become the blood and the body of Christ himself. Most Lutherans believe in something that's entitled the sacramental union which means that the body and the blood of Christ are there, but they're in, they're with, and they're under the bread and the wine. We see these as symbols. These are symbols representing the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so there's things that are very similar in that we all do this to remember Jesus. That's why we do it. Christ said, and today's message is entitled, "Do this in remembrance of me." If you look even on our communion table, I think we can see it. Well, this is the King James Version. It says, "This do in remembrance of me." But that's what that means. It is we are doing this in remembrance of Christ. And every time that we receive or remember communion, that's what we're doing. We are encouraging our minds to go back and remember Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to remember the cross. In fact, this entire morning is going to be dedicated on remembering the cross of Jesus. Now, this is actually going to begin a new series. Now, this is going to be a different kind of a series. Normally, in a series, we'll go every week. This is going to be a series that's going to go on once a month. And so when we remember communion for the next few months, and I don't know how long this will go on, but we will be dedicating those services to remembering Christ. And we're going to look at different aspects of the table, of Christ's body and his blood for the next few months on Communion Sunday. So the next part two in this series will actually be on Palm Sunday, which is the 1st of April. And on that day is going to be a neat day to remember, because on Palm Sunday, we normally recognize and remember the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Well, there's so many ties to the Passover lamb and how he was marched into Jerusalem. Well, that's a month from now. We won't get into that. But that'll be part two of this series on communion. It'll be a once-a-month series that we will go through. I want to begin this morning with the passage that we normally read when we are ready to receive the elements. It's from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to read verses 23 to 26. Of course, what communion is, it's a reenactment, if you will, of the Last Supper. And the Last Supper was the Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples on the night before he was crucified. The night before Jesus would hang on the cross and die for our sin, he had a Passover meal, the original Last Supper, with his disciples. Paul is reenacting that. He's talking about that in a letter to the church in Corinth. But let's read. These are the words and the text that we normally go over when we remember communion. Let's begin with this morning. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it." Now, I just want to pause for a minute. You'll notice that before we receive the elements, we always pray. We pray, we give thanks for the elements. This is where that comes from, is because Jesus, right before he broke the bread to celebrate that, he prayed. Therefore, we pray right before we pass out the elements. That's where this comes from. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This bread that symbolizes the body of Christ, he's saying, don't forget my body. Don't forget it. Verse 25, "In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Again, the cup symbolizing the blood of Christ that was shed for each one of us. Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's open in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for this opportunity that we have, God, to gather together. I thank you for the time that we've had to praise you and worship you and glorify you as one body. God, and I thank you for this time that we have now to remember, to allow our minds and our hearts to go back and remember the cross. Dear God, that is the absolute foundation for all of life as we know it. God, it is the reason we even have life. We've been born again because of the cross. Father, I dedicate this time to you. I ask you to move amongst us. Holy Spirit, just move us and stir our hearts up in remembrance of you. We love you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we can see from that text, Jesus, it's very clear, he instructs us to remember. To remember him. We are always to recollect. We are always to go in our minds backwards and never to forget the cross. It's communion, and this table is about bringing Jesus back into the forefront of our mind. Now, shouldn't Jesus always be in the forefront of our mind? Well, wouldn't it make sense that Jesus is always there? But doesn't life have a way of bringing other things into the forefront of our mind? Doesn't, and maybe important things, but certainly lesser things that get taken because of life and the way life happens, and it just gets put into the fore, it gets put into to that place of prominence in our minds. And communion is a way of saying, you know what, take Jesus and put him back there. And this morning, maybe your minds, and I know my mind can go a lot of places, to my job, well, to our jobs, to the bills that we have to pay, to our families, to our hobbies, to our fears, to our struggles, to our trials, to our relationships, to whatever. Our mind can naturally move away from Christ being in the forefront. And communion, what we remember regularly, is a way of taking Jesus, the main thing, and putting him back into that place of prominence in our minds and our hearts. And I really want to encourage you this morning, no matter where you're at, no matter where you came from, no matter what's going on in your life, let Jesus take over that place again. During these next few moments, allow Christ to take over your mind and the forefront of your mind. That's what communion is. It's about putting him back there. I think when Jesus spoke these words in that original Last Supper, he was saying, you know what? Of anything that you may forget, just don't forget this. Of all the things in your life, of all the struggles, of all the blessings, of all the pain, of all the joys, don't forget my body. Don't forget the blood that was shed for you. Don't forget the cross. Don't forget that I hung there. Don't forget that there was a crown that was sunk, a thorn sunk into my brow. Don't forget that there were nails in my hands and in my feet. Don't forget me. He was saying, he was instructing, he was ensuring that no matter what life would present us, and life can present us a lot, can't it? Sometimes a lot more than we're ready for. But he was saying, whenever you do this, let your mind go back. Let it remember the cross, because what that does is it just takes everything else in life and it puts it into a proper perspective. The perspective of seeing all of life through the lens of Jesus and his death and his resurrection. Do this in remembrance of me. Turn with me, if you would. We're going to go through a passage in Ephesians 2. I think it'll be helpful to have your Bibles. If you don't have one, there's one in the pew in front of you. But Ephesians 2, it's on page 976 in your pew Bibles. If you want it, we're going to walk through this passage of Scripture that I believe is all about things that we should be remembering. This is a powerful passage in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8. Verse 8. It will be up on the screen as well. We're going to look at this morning is we're going to look at three things that we never want to forget. If you have your sermon notes, it's red this morning, and we're going to read this text, and then we'll look at the first thing. Let's read this text from Ephesians 2 first. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works. This is the foundation, my friends, of our relationship with Christ. We have been saved by his amazing grace. The channel of that grace was our faith. We trusted that when Jesus died on the cross, he did that for us. And then look at, he tells us the same thing in three different ways, just so we don't forget it. He said, it's not of your own doing, it's not about us, it's the gift of God. So it's a gift, it's not something you did, and not a result of works. Says the same thing three different ways, and then he tells us why he says the same thing three different ways, so that no one may boast. So that no one may think that their salvation was about them. Our salvation is about the incredible grace of God in the form, the picture, the sacrifice of Jesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. The first thing that we remember and that communion should do, we remember the gospel. Number one, we remember the gospel of Jesus Christ, that when Christ died, he did it for us. We didn't deserve salvation. We didn't deserve eternal life. None of us earned our way into fellowship, into oneness, into eternal life. None of us did. None of us were born into the family of God. We all, no matter how our parents raised us, no matter how we were raised, we all had to choose. We all had to put our faith in Jesus Christ. This beautiful, gracious, pure gospel should be the thing that communion brings our minds back to. It should bring us back to the pure gospel that says you've been saved by God's incredible grace, the grace we sang about this morning. Let's keep going. The second thing we remember, that's number one, we remember the gospel. The second thing we remember is who we were. Who we were. Key word being were. Let's keep going in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11. He's going to use the word remember twice here in this text. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called this circumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. What he's saying is we have to remember as a people group, this is who we were. We also remember as individuals, this is who we were. Now, verse 12 is an incredible verse. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In this one tiny verse, Ephesians 2:12, we have five characteristics of who we were before Christ. Five things that defined us prior to us putting our faith in Jesus. Look at the words, separated, alienated, strangers, no hope, and without God. That is who we were before Christ. Let's look at those very quick, one at a time. First of all, we were separated unto Christ. What does this mean? We, at one point in our life, had no connection to God through Jesus. All of us. No matter how young you were when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, at one point you were separated unto Christ. You did not have a connection with him. That's who you were. Second thing says you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Alienated from the commonwealth means that you were non-citizens. You were foreigners. You were strangers. You were estranged from the family of God. You were not included in the family tree. At one point in our life, all of us were alienated. Have you ever been to a foreign country? I know there's some of us here who came here from a foreign country. And if you've ever been to a foreign country, you may have felt alienated. You may have felt different, like you didn't belong. Spiritually, before Christ, all of us were alienated. What's the third thing? We were strangers to the covenants of promise. Now, what is the covenants of promise? That means that all of God's promises in his word at one point in our life didn't apply to us. We could embrace none of God's promises because they didn't apply to us. The covenants of the promise of eternal life, we couldn't grab a hold of because we were outside of Jesus. This is who we were before Christ. This is not a great list. Let's look at the fourth thing that we were. We remember that we were without hope. We were literally hopeless. We had no hope for the future. Hope is called an anchor for the soul. We had no hope for what was going to happen. We were literally scared to death of death. Scared to death of death. Because death meant the unknown. Death meant the unforeseen. Death meant maybe having to face God and not sure how we stood with him. We were hopeless. If we weren't scared to death of death, we should have been before Christ. Because that's what death would mean. And finally, we were without God in the world. We were living this life solo, on our own. No, none of God's direction, none of God's comfort, none of God's security, none of God's stability or his love. We were without God. We were completely lost. This is who we were. We were separated, alienated, strangers, hopeless, and without God in the world. Now, why would Paul want us to go back in our minds and remember that's who we were? Why would we even go there? Have you ever heard the expression, don't forget where you came from? That expression is used a lot with people who become famous, actors or actresses or athletes who make it big. And there's this expression, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that maybe you came from humble roots also. Maybe you didn't always, you weren't always a big shot. And when we go back and remember that's who we were, it humbles us. It brings us back down to a place of humility before God. Because we remember, God, at one point I was separated, alienated, a stranger from your promise. I was hopeless and I was without you. When we remember that, it brings us back to a point of humility. Sometimes we can get so far removed from that place where we didn't even know Christ that we can get a little arrogant. We can get a little proud. We can forget that we were saved by his grace alone. And what communion does is it helps us to remember, Jesus, I didn't deserve this, and this is not who I always was. I want to look at the third aspect of who we now are. Finally, communion is the third thing, is remembering who we are now. The key being the word now. Who we are now. Let's keep going in Ephesians 2. Let's look at verse 13. Verse 13. But now, there's that wonderful word, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace. We have peace with God, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. In this passage, we see three aspects now of who we are. First of all, who are we now in Christ? Number one, in Christ, we have been brought near to God. We are now near to God. It says very clearly, we once were far from him, and now we've been brought near. This is a picture of relationship. We have a closeness of relationship with God. It's a oneness of relationship with God. We are now close to him. Where we didn't used to have that, we now do. This can also be something that the longer we have relationship with Christ, the more we can take it for granted. We can forget what life was like before we had relationship with Jesus. This happened to me within this last year, where I had an experience that brought me back to what it feels like again to be separated from Christ. And that internal feeling after knowing relationship with Jesus and after feeling connected with him for a long time, to feel like I was disconnected was one of the worst feelings on this planet. It was one of the worst things to think what it felt like and to remember back, and I believe God allowed that so I would remember back what it felt like before I was in oneness and relationship with Christ. We are to remember that though once we were far, now we've been brought near. We have been welcomed. We have been accepted. We have been welcomed into this family and this relationship. And if we've had it for a long time, we can take it for granted. Communion is about allowing our mind to remember, boy, I am now near to God again. Maybe you've had somebody ask you the question about a personal relationship. Are you close to that person? Are you close to them? Do you have a relationship? Are you close to them? And you know what that feels like when you're close to a person on this earth. And now we are close to God. We have nearness in relationship to him because of Christ. What's the second aspect of who we are? Who we are now. We are now at peace with him. There was a hostility with God. Our sin, every one of us, Romans 3 clearly tells us all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Our sin caused a barrier. In this text, it called it a dividing wall. There was hostility between us and God because of our sin. Christ came and it says he literally killed the hostility. That's an ironic statement because the cross that killed Jesus also killed the hostility that was between us and God. So that same cross that killed the person of Jesus also killed the dividing wall that was between us and him. But now we have peace. Now we've been brought close. Now we have a sense of we are settled in our souls because of what Jesus did for us. We have a soul settled because of Christ and the cross. Do you have that soul settled this morning? Do you feel at peace with God? If you don't, man, today is the day. Today can be the day to have a soul that is settled and at peace with God, maybe for the first time, by trusting in Jesus. We are at peace with him. What's the third thing? Third thing is we are now one with God. There is a oneness of relationship with God. We've been joined, we've been connected, we are now abiding in the vine of Jesus Christ. This is the picture of the spiritual marriage. Ephesians 5 talks about the two, us and God, becoming one. Like a husband and a wife becoming one. That's the picture. Now, we have to remember that we're near, we're at peace, and we're one. And doesn't life have a way of making us forget that's who we are? Can't we forget through our trials and our jobs and our relationships and our bills and our all of the things of life? Can't that help us? Can't that make us forget that even though we were once far, we've been brought near? And even though we were once had hostility between us and God because of our sin, we now are at peace. And even though we didn't have a oneness, we now have a oneness with him. Can't life cause us to forget those things? Well, communion is about remembering those things again. It's about allowing our minds to go back to the cross of Jesus Christ, who brought all of these things into our life initially. This morning, we're going to remember Jesus. We're going to do this in remembrance of Christ himself. Communion is not a once-a-month duty. It's not a religious act. It's not something we just have to do to feel like we're a church. It is a way to allow our minds and our hearts to go back and to remember Jesus, to remember his body, and all that happened to his body during that time. And to remember the blood, the real human blood that he shed for us. Communion is a way to do that. It's a way to take Jesus and all that he is and all that he did and put him back into that proper place in the very front of our minds. We're going to do this morning in remembrance of him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you did what you did in the sending of your Son for us. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and we thank you for that. God, we didn't deserve that. We didn't have that coming. And yet in your grace and in your love, you gave us this opportunity for eternal life. God, I want to pray that if there's anyone here this morning who has not trusted in you for their salvation, Father, I want to ask and I want to pray that they would, even in these next few moments, put their faith, their trust in what you did in the sending of your Son Jesus to pay for their sin. God, I ask that there would be those this morning who are saved. Lord God, I thank you that you did this for us. May we do this now in remembrance of you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to have a special song this morning. It's entitled In Christ Alone. And I want to encourage you during this song to allow your mind to remember Jesus. That we're going to do this morning in remembrance of him. And so during this song, enjoy the beauty of it, but also let your mind go back in humility and thankfulness and appreciation for all that Jesus Christ did for you and he did for me.
My strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness. The ones he came to save, to